When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, was that awesome. How relieving was that as a fan? As a Browns fan, I can only imagine how relieved the players and coaches feel on the Browns. The Browns just beat the Bengals in Cincinnati, a.k.a. the little brother, 41-16. They made it look easy from start to finish. I'm your host, Josh Paloha, with a guy currently in Vegas, somehow found some time to do a podcast. I don't know why. He should be on the blackjack table, but here he is doing the podcast. Joining me, as usual, Joe Gilbert, Browns Instant Insights, WFMY Podcast Edition. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. If you're listening to us live, leave a comment. We'll feature you as long as it's PG-13, as long as it's clean. But yeah, I mean, beating up on the little brother, I hate to be like a Michigan reference. Screw Michigan always, but it's nice. Baker Mayfield, it was like one of those, we'll talk about this later on. It was one of those chip on the shoulder, doubt me Baker games. And he flourished as he usually does in those types of situations. Joe, first off, watching the Browns game in Vegas, how was it? And two, just talk about the Browns overall.
It was awesome. I was at Circa. It's like the new sports betting place, and if you guys ever go to Vegas, you got to stop there to watch sports there. It was by far the best sports book in the city, and it was amazing just to see watch them on the big screen.
Amazing, putting $20 on them too, Joe yes. Gilbert, huge spender, big spender.
Big spender. But yeah, it was amazing, and the game made it even so much more better and fun. And they actually, from start to finish, they didn't like kind of let them back in the game. They went out there and took care of business, and that was a fun game. Both the defense and offense played well. Nothing more you can pretty much ask for on a Sunday here.
Denzel Ward. His number one issue is staying healthy, but when he's healthy, mm-hmm. I mean, I know I retweeted a stat on WFMYCLE on Twitter, WFMYCLE. He just does so well, but his biggest issue is just staying healthy. I mean, he had that 100-yard pick six. Talk about a momentum changer. Cincinnati goes down the field, makes it look decently easy, about to score a touchdown, and Denzel Ward picks the ball off. In front of Jamar Chase, not only is it like just a regular receiver, it's Jamar Chase, who's a rookie who's been dominating this year. And that was just like the turning point of the game. Cincinnati just never regained the lead after that.
Yep. Yeah, he was dominant against Jamar Chase. He looked – my dad was talking about that. He looked Chase looked frazzled. He sort of looked like preseason preseason Chase, where he was dropping passes and struggling and – give kudos to the secondary. They both him and Newsom, they really got into the Cincinnati receivers, and they won that battle. It was one of the biggest matchups in the game, and the Browns secondary came out winning it by a big margin.
Yeah, it's not like the Browns offense just put up 41 points and Baker just had a little screw you OBJ game. But let's talk about the defense first, since we're already on that topic. Denzel Ward, pick six. Greg Newsom, well done on Jamar Chase. But we have to talk about Troy Hill, Anthony Walker, and I mean the whole secondary. Troy Hill was in the backfield, it seemed like, almost every play. He ended up, let's see, Troy Hill, 7 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 3 quarterback hits. Yeah. As a slot cornerback, give me that every game, all game. That's dominant.
Yeah. He was one of the best players on that defense today, and it was fun to watch. It's kind of all the kind of bad play from this defense. He's actually been probably one of the more consistent guys, especially in the secondary. So it was great to see him just continue that. And he played a dominant game. He was all over the place. made some big tackles. He's one of our better tacklers on the defense, and it was just great to see a defense finally show up and when we needed them, because it was, man, this week was rough. It was rough.
Yeah, I know, Baker. I mean, after the game, it seemed like, I was just scrolling through Twitter, it seemed like every question was either, hey, who got injured in the game, or hey, something about OBJ. And you can just tell that it was just like, not only this week being over, but winning the way they did today, it was just like a huge
stress reliever.
Yeah, monkey off their back, per se. Yeah. I mean, and then we have Ed Hodler, Chef Ed. Great. He always listens in, and he's a big fan of ours. It's nice to have a healthy defense strut their stuff. It really is. I mean, Greedy Williams got hurt first half. He didn't come back. I don't think he came back.
I don't think so.
But besides that, they had their guys. And if I mean, Cincinnati's offensive line, we know that they're not that good. But to hold Joe Burrow in that offense to two touchdowns and both of them being the running back, you can't ask for much more than that.
No, you cannot. And just imagine JOK is going to be coming back pretty soon, hopefully. And because I think that was pretty much the only – they kind of gave up a little bit some – especially early on in the game, they gave up a little bit too much short yardage chunk plays there. But so just add him to the mix, and this defense, hopefully this is a good stepping stone that they can kind of shoot off from here, because the talent is, we've talked about it how many times, the talent is has always been there. It just putting it all together, and today they did. There's obviously two dominant performances early on in the season, but I would say this is probably their best one, because they're opportunistic on defense, getting those turnovers, getting the score. And then they didn't really let the Bengals back in the game, which was really nice to see. They pounded them throughout the game and scored 16 at the end. So that was pretty good.
It was one of those moments where like the big brother sort of like scores early. If it's like a one-on-one basketball game, the big brother scores early and just never gives up the lead. I'm going to keep referencing this little brother thing, because that's awesome. But yeah, I mean, Cincinnati had to be they had to be loving this past week. Not only do they have a better record, but they have arguably, I mean, let's be honest, Joe Burrow, no matter what you say, he's the better number one pick. I mean, let's just put it out there. But yeah, for Baker and the boys just go out there and dominate. It's
great.
And before we get past the defense, Anthony Walker, 14 tackles, one sack.
Yeah.
JOK is badly missed, but Anthony Walker has stepped up big time.
Yeah, he has. He has definitely played. He's probably the last three or four games, he's played very well for the most part. And just adding him and JOK would be a nice starting duo right there. He was good. He was very good. And then just the defensive line was dominant again. So that was nice to see. They Bengals wanted to run the ball early, and they couldn't really do it. And so it kind of fell on the Burrow's shoulders, and the secondary played well. And then they got to the quarterback. Miles, I think, had a sack. We had a couple blitz sacks. So
yeah, in total, they had 5 sacks and 12 quarterback hits. I mean, if you're putting that kind of pressure on Joe Burrow, I don't care. Well, I'm not even going to compare him to Tom Brady, but I don't care how good of the quarterback he is. If you're putting that kind of pressure on him and hitting him, I mean, we're all human. So if you're getting hit all the time as a quarterback, you're always going to be looking around no matter how clean the pocket is. So, yeah 12 quarterback hits. And speaking of, the one Clowney. But Clowney. Yeah, and Clowney, that one, the referees sometimes make such questionable decisions. Clowney hits him somewhat late. It could have been a roughing the passer, but it wasn't. Cincinnati starts a scuffle, and somehow a Browns player is called for unnecessary roughness after the play. So instead of it being a fourth down Browns ball, Cincinnati gets the ball first down, and they go down to score. Luckily, like, it didn't matter. Yeah, exactly. If anything, it's like, who started it? Cincinnati
right,
it's off,
yeah, right.
So luckily, so it didn't matter, but that could have been a turning point in the game.
Yeah, it definitely could have. Yeah, that's another thing. They kind of there's so many instances where they could have, where we've seen in the past where it would kind of tumbleweed into more worse things, and they kind of shut it down. Like there's a couple instances where this defense gave up just so many penalties. They still, which is another thing they still need to improve on. But they rebounded and they were able to shut them down. So that was good to see. And the offense was there too, did that too. So it was, it just showed overall, it just showed that this team is tougher than we think. And they fought through a lot of shit today. a lot of crap.
I mean, not only today, but this past week overall. I mean, I know Craig in our Discord just shared a quote from Baker that Zach Jackson tweeted. And by the way, I'm always going to plug our Discord. WFMY Discord, just join it. It's a lot better than Twitter. A lot of things are a lot better than Twitter, let's be honest. But especially during the game, we just talk random stuff and share random tweets and talk about how the Browns are going to win the Super Bowl. Just stuff like that. Nothing, no big deal, you know? But Baker's quote from Zach Jackson, I'm proud of these guys and the focus they had despite all the bullshit that was going on this week. Perfectly sums it up.
Yeah,
I mean, say what you want about Baker, but he is clearly one of the team's leaders, along with Jarvis Landry. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. I didn't watch the press conference, but judging by the answers that he was giving on Twitter, it seemed like he never said like no comment. He just was asked a question and he answered it wholeheartedly. I mean, that's obviously much better to do after, or much easier to do after a win. Yeah. Let's be honest, but. Whether it was like a little like quote unquote subtweet to OBJ or anything, he just not going to put up with bullshit.
Yep. Yeah. It was, he had a really good week, like in terms of just handling all this. Like they had so much crap going towards him just from OBJ's father and all the, just stuff all across the sports world. Just all this free OBJ and all that crap.
Before you go on, by the way, okay, so not only was free Odell on Twitter, it was hashtag free OBJ on Twitter, I think. Maybe it was free Odell too. But then shirts were made, and his some former today, LSU wide receivers. Now that Odell has already been freed, Justin Jefferson, I know, former LSU receiver who's now with the Minnesota Vikings, wore that free Odell shirt. To not have to deal, I mean, OBJ, yes, he is a great talent, but he, at this stage, especially with how the Browns are, where we can talk about this too, the Browns are a team that they don't really need a star receiver. They just need, like, some really good receivers. Because their offense is an offense where it gets guys open. They don't need guys to get open, if that makes sense. Yeah. So, to not have to deal with the Odell BS anymore, it has to be so relieving. Literally for everyone, the fans, the coaches, the players. Us. I mean, after this week, let's be honest. Yeah, us, the podcasters.
we don't have that topic every week.
Yeah, after this week, I'm sure there won't be many OB, unless the Browns just flat out stink like, one of these games and they'll be like, well, how would you have done with OBJ? Yeah. But it's just so relieving.
Yeah. Or if they play against them. I fully expect
that is bound to happen.
I fully expect him to join a team that's absolutely on his schedule still.
Absolutely. Somehow, because he has to like make up for the Browns screwing him over, even though the Browns didn't screw him over. But that's beside the point, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Adam Schefter, who is clearly getting the news from the OBJ camp.
So true. Yeah. It was, I'm just happy it's over. Baker handled it perfectly. He was honest about it and he put his play first and he showed up today, so we can now go on to the offense here. It was an impressive showing by the offense.
There has to be one person, and there has to be one person on Twitter somewhere that said, "Wow, the Browns just put up 41 points. Imagine how many points they would have put up if they had Odell Beckham Jr."
Yeah, that person clearly would not have watched any of the Browns this season.
Exactly. Exactly.
We talked about it all season. It just didn't work. I couldn't tell you why. No, like Jake Burns, who's one of the smartest guys on the Browns coverage, he had no idea. It didn't work, and it just kind of crescendoed into just a really rough weekend and week, and so it was nice to kind of just end it. It was sad to just see how it ended here, but it was the best move for him. And at least after one game, it looked good. So
small sample size. But Super Bowl. It's always been a question. Yeah, it's always been a question of, is Baker better and the Browns better, or the Browns offense better without OBJ? And I mean, last year we saw that it was, and that was a decent, it was like a half a season sample size. I'm not saying that they are better, but this game as well, it's the Baker just doesn't do, like Joe said, and like Jake Burns and so many other people on Twitter said, Baker just didn't, they just never had the chemistry. I don't know what it was. We'll never know what it was, but it just wasn't there.
It's just weird. Sometimes it just doesn't work. And it was good on the Browns and Andrew Berry to kind of get out of that, kind of end it. Know when to end it and not have it keep getting worse and worse and worse down the line. So it was a smart move to just kind of end it and go on with our lives.
Yes, and save money. But speaking of saving money. Yeah. Wow, this just sounds like I'm going into like a commercial. Ooh, or something.
Are we doing an ad read?
I wish. Now? Speaking of saving money, you should subscribe to this insurance. No, but
Craig Lindell insurance.
Lindell insurance, Chagrin Falls. What was I gonna say now? I don't even know. Lindell insurance has totally got me. Okay. So Adam Schefter, who clearly got his news from Odell Beckham and his guys, said something about, one, OBJ wants to be on a contender. Wow, who would have ever saw that coming? Why would he want to leave the Browns and go to anyone but a contender? And two, he made it pretty clear that do not pick him up on waivers. Detroit Lions, I know you're out there. You need a receiver. Please. It will be worth a few extra $1 million if you pick him up on waivers. But Browns fans, we will make a GoFundMe for you.
The Detroit Lions.
If you put in a waiver claim for Odell Beckham Jr., please just do it. Do you know how great that would be?
We'll slide you under like a 7th round pick later in the offseason.
Exactly. Odell thinks he's probably like, one, he wants to be on a contender. Two, he wants to be on a contender that plays the Browns. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Actually, Detroit does play the Browns, so that marks one check mark off, but they're not a contender. But it would be so funny if Detroit or someone like that puts in a claim on them. It'll be hysterical.
It would be. Miami.
Oh, man.
For receiver.
They're looking for literally every single position on the field. Yeah. Jeff Nauman has to be. Man, they won today. They won 2-7.
But they
congrats on beating the Houston Texans, who are probably the worst team in the NFL. But yeah. I mean, I so badly want a bad team to put in a claim on Odell. Not only would it save the Browns money, but just to like watch it from the outside.
Oh yeah. Watch it. It'll be that meme where it's just, I think you're in the park in front of an explosion in the background. Oh man, yeah,
it'd be great. It would be great TV.
It would be, yeah.
But on with the offense. All right, Baker did well. Nothing spectacular, but he didn't have any 14 of 21, 218 yards, 2 touchdowns, no mistakes. As we continue to say, as long as he doesn't make mistakes, if he's a game manager 90% of the time, but makes the throws that are needed 10% of the time, down with it. I would love for him to be able to make the throws in the fourth quarter, which he didn't have to do today. But that's
a whole other
conversation.
He did make some big time throws late, actually. Which
he
nice.
That one to David Njoku was, but it's also different when you're up 3 touchdowns and you're, you know what I mean. I want him under pressure to go out there and win a game. But hey, I'm not complaining. They were just 141-16 today. That throw to David Njoku late was nice. The 60 yard touchdown. That one, 60-yard touchdown on DPJ, fancy. And then, heck yeah,
and then
baby!
The one to him late in the game too on the sideline. He drops it between coverage. That was probably his best throw of the game. That was a hard throw to fit in there.
His only bad throw of the game was when he had Jarvis open. It was a play. It was after a long Nick Chubb run. It was a play action boot. And he had Jarvis open in the middle of the field, and he not only underthrew it, but he threw it. It was really weird. I don't know if like the ball partially slipped or what.
I feel like, so I was looking at, I feel like he maybe thought he was going to sit down there, kind of curl in, which I don't know why he would, because it looked like he was running a post or something. So it looked like he was just, it was another miscommunication, but yeah, that was just, it looked awkward. That was not his best throw, but overall he was incredibly good. He won the matchup today. He stayed clean. No turnovers. Really, I don't think there was a turnover-worthy throw or decision today, which is a great sign. So, yeah, he was excellent today.
Yeah, he was. I mean, like I said, a game that he did what he had to do today. Nothing spectacular, but nothing bad. And, I mean, even he outplayed Joe Burrow today, which takes a lot as it is. But when your quarterback does that and Nick Chubb, 14 carries, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Stud.
That is literally the recipe for success. I mean, your quarterback that makes no mistakes, and your running back averages 9.8 yards a carry.
Yes.
Boom. Done.
And before all the complainers, like, oh, why did he only get 14? Just go ahead and look at how many plays we had on offense. You're going to figure out that. Because Baker only threw it 21 times. It's not like. It was an odd game. Like the time of the possession, the number of plays was strongly on the Bengals side, but
that
it was all because we stayed clean and didn't
turn and turnovers. I mean, and like you said, turnovers, that pick six. So by the time the Browns offense actually got the ball, it was 7-7 and there was 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know in the first half they had 24 points and had only ran 15 plays.
Yeah. It was and then I think they had 3 plays over 60 yards. I saw
it was Nick Chubb.
DBJ. Yeah, Nick Chubb and then DBJ I think they considered Denzel the
yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was good to see. Obviously that doesn't count for Denzel, but it was nice to see just the explosive plays back in the offense. We had not seen that in I don't know, 3-4 weeks.
So Baker can throw the ball downfield. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, very interesting.
Crazy how that happens, too,
didn't he? Threw that right in stride. But yeah,
the only negative. Oh, come on.
No, I just thought it was just a perfect game for him, and it was fun to see.
It's crazy that I'm looking at the stats now. The Browns outgained Cincinnati 361-348, and when you factor in the fact that Cincinnati had 2 possessions before the Browns offense even got the ball. That's crazy.
Oh, I know. Yeah. How many times did you think that would happen?
Exactly. Like the only negative I can take from the Browns offense, I mean, when they scored 41 points and Nick Chubb dominates like he did, penalties. I know we talked about this a little bit. The penalties have to stop. 10 penalties, 84 yards. At some point, it's going to cost them down the road.
Yeah, it's still a killer, which is it just because last year, if I'm not mistaken, they were pretty good without penalties. But this year, they're just getting rocked and a lot of stupid ones, too. I think we had, 4 offsides on defense early on in the quarter.
And it's not even like discipline. Yeah. You can't even blame Kevin Stefanski or any of the coaching staff. It's just like
these are adults. Offsides.
Right? Yeah. They're adults. Like they're it's not like they're 15-year-old kids. If you're lining up offsides, it's the player's fault. It's no one else's fault.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was, that. And it's been a stupid plays, really, or stupid penalties. It's not really like, obviously, we're getting some pass interference and roughing the passer, which is always bad, but it's just these very annoying ones that luckily didn't affect us today, but can definitely affect us later on. So we gotta clean that up. It's a continual problem.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, I know we just went through both sides of the team, defense, offense, in 24 minutes, but it's a lot easier to talk about the positives in a 41-16 game than it is to bring up. I mean, literally the only negative thing I can say, stop the penalties. That's it.
Yeah, it really was. It's it was a clean game overall, just in terms of like not turning the ball over, not making like mistakes on blocking and all that stuff. But yeah, the only mistakes were penalties, and that has to shore up here soon. I'm guessing Stefanski, that's going to be in the Monday or Tuesday film room session. It's probably going to be the first point. Most good coaches are like that. They'll point out the negative, even in the wins. They'll point that out first, and I'm sure Stefanski will put that on the top of the list. It's gotta be better, and we've seen improvement all across the field. So I'm not betting against them that they can shore that up, but it's gotta be fixed soon.
Yes, absolutely, and stay healthy. If this team can stay healthy. I mean, I don't want to be too optimistic, but man, they showed a lot of promise today, and they were about as healthy as they've been all season.
Yep. And hopefully JOK comes back. Hopefully, I don't know if Greedy came back or not. I haven't seen it.
I don't think he did, but you saying I hope JOK comes back too? We haven't even, the offense just put up 41 points, Nick Chubb just dominated like he did. We haven't even brought up Kareem Hunt. Imagine when Kareem Hunt comes back.
Yeah, that's another. There's another thing that they need to work on. The red zone is still a problem.
Absolutely, yes,
it's still a problem. Which someone brought it up. I don't know who it was on Twitter, but the missing of Kareem Hunt might be a big reason why they're struggling. He was, you know him. He'll bowl over people down there. So maybe if he can come back, that'll help short up. But like some of the play calling today that. Option with Landry to
I Chubb. Liked one of yes, those was it was really weird. It was a cool play call, but it seemed not as though they didn't but though, and but. It seemed as though they didn't practice it that much. Like Jarvis flinched and in Jarvis that situation you need Nick Chubb to be running full speed when he catches it.
Yeah.
And because Jarvis flinched, Nick Chubb had to slow down and boom, the play was over. Yeah. So like I liked the concept, but I didn't like how it turned out.
Yeah. I didn't like the situation either. I think it was fourth and one or third and one, maybe, or third and two.
Yeah.
I just with the way that the run game was running early on in that game, I would have liked just handed off or even I think Jarvis might have gotten a first down if he just kept it, which was weird. So I don't know. But yeah, it's an overall situation where they need to be able to call better plays, not get too cute on sometimes, and then the execution just has to be better because it's been downright horrible.
And let's be honest, but it was nice to see a play like that because, like we talked, I think it was last week, Stefanski hasn't ran anything like special per se.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of one of those plays. Just practice it more. I feel like I said, I felt like it was one of those plays where like they had it drawn up, but they never practiced it because it just seems so out of rhythm.
It did, yeah. It was just, out of rhythm is a good term for it. It was very odd looking. And we've seen that on multiple fourth down plays, red zone plays, where it just, the rhythm seemed off. They just have to fix that problem. You've got a talented running back in Chubb. I'm hoping we saw today, I'm hoping Njoku becomes more of a red zone threat for him because he is super talented. I think they threw maybe three or four times in the red zone to him. So that was nice to see. So hopefully more of that and and then getting Kareem Hunt back and hopefully we can see a better red zone offense because they were pretty good last year. I'm pretty sure if I can think back there, it's just been very odd and kind of, I don't know, just kind of hasn't gotten better. So hopefully they can improve on that. And this offense can really take another step because how many times have they been stopped and forced to get field goals? And getting 7 points would be so much better for this offense.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I guess we said penalties was the only negative part of the offense today, but it was also the red zone, which has been a problem.
Which is for crazy. Quite a while now. Scored 41 points.
Exactly. And speaking of, you brought up field goals. Chase McLaughlin missed his first field goal, non-blocked field goal today. Should the Browns cut him? Look for a new kicker?
I have to say, if if I had to choose when you were going to miss a field goal, up 18 was the perfect chance. So get all your misses out, up 18. I'm good with that. So it was a smart move by Chase, getting that miss out of there, getting it down up 18. Good to go. Is going to not miss the rest of the year. So we're good.
But you better knock on wood right now. So.
Oh.
But yeah, Chase McLaughlin, I mean, 2 for 3. He missed one. It is what it is. The other side of that, Scottish Hammer, 3 punts today, 39 yards per punt. His job might be on the line again. I would not be surprised if they try out a punter this week.
Yeah, a lot of them were obviously like to kind of pin him down, but he didn't pin him down that well. Like, I don't think he had one inside the 10. It was all inside the 20. Like, in those situations,
he had one inside the 20. And I don't think it was anyone near inside the 10.
No, I think it was on the 15 or something. Yeah, and it's it was not his best game. We saw him improve over the past few weeks, but this is a regression today. So hopefully it's just a blip, but I don't know. he's frustrating to watch, man.
Yeah, and like I said, if we're trying to nitpick for the negatives today, so we're not getting caught up in that at all.
We're nitpicking on the punter, that's all right.
Yeah, the Browns just won 41-16 against their little brother, aka the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 5-4, right? Yeah, 5-4. Baltimore won, so Baltimore is solely in first. Yeah, Baltimore won in overtime. Justin Tucker, game-winning field goal, Mr. Automatic.
Oh, my God. Because I was watching, I could see every game that was played. It was just frustrating.
Weird flex.
Thank you. Not to toot my own horn, but it was just frustrating. Like, they were up down 14. I was like, they're going to come back because the Minnesota was just playing terrible, even though they were dominating the game. It's frustrating, man. They're the luckiest team in the league. There's no other team luckier than the Baltimore Ravens. And getting another win in overtime. I think that's what, 2 or 3 this year.
Yeah, the Ravens are now 6-2. Browns and Bengals are both 5-4. Pittsburgh's 4-3. They've already had their bye, and they play tomorrow night. So they're not only a game back, but then they play tomorrow night as well.
Who they play?
But I mean, Chicago Bears.
Wow.
Yeah. At Pittsburgh, though. So that.
Probably not.
Yeah. So, but either way, I mean, the AFC North is just so tough. So every road win count, like, I don't care who you play. If you get a win on the road, it's huge. If you get a win on the road in the AFC North, it's even bigger. And if it's a dominant win, that's even bigger. And the Browns did all of those today. They checked all the boxes.
Yep. That was a must win. I know it's semi earlier-ish in the game in the season, but this week was a must win, and they got it done. So. Shout out to Stefanski getting this team ready because
they could have
just laid an egg and kind of the season could have just fell apart from here, but they didn't. They came out hot and ready and just a dominant performance. And shout out to them. He was on his game today.
Yeah, Stefanski, the leaders, like I said, Baker, Jarvis, whoever else was the leader. I mean, they came to play today and they dominated. It's as simple as that. Scott, I Waiting for Next Year, summed it up perfectly. I'll read his two tweets. There is bound to be some mouth breathing over here over how the Browns played today without Odell. His absence didn't make the defense play the way it did, thus allowing Cleveland to let the game come to them. They were in control, whistle to whistle. It's true. I mean, besides like the first 3 minutes where Cincinnati was driving down the field, Browns were in the lead or tied from whistle to whistle. Was the offense improved today? 100%. Was Baker out to prove his doubters wrong? No way to know without asking him. Let's be honest. That's a yes. But it wouldn't surprise me. That said, it's the first time in weeks that they've had a complete game. Season saving? We'll see. One, yes, it was a season saver. I can only imagine how ugly
it would just kind of tumble. Yeah, it was.
The Browns would be 4-5. Going to the Patriots, they'd be 4-5, losing 4 out of their last 5. And then losing after Odell left like that, it would have been a mess. Luckily, we don't have to deal with it. I mean, it's all positive thoughts. Sports talk in Cleveland might be listenable. Did I just say listenable?
More.
It might be easier to listen to sports talk. That's much better English, Josh.
That was also a plus for me that I didn't have to listen to that crap. I flew out of here. That was part of the reason why I went to Vegas. I needed to get the hell out of that city to not listen to OBJ.
Joe had to go cry his tears with dollar bills is what he had to do.
I did.
But seriously, I mean, it's
firm or deny that I have lost money today.
Oh shit. But yeah, I mean, it's so nice. Just it's crazy the NFL roller coaster that is the week to week thing. I mean, really last week people were calling for Baker Mayfield, Joe Woods, who else? Oh, Odell, obviously. But now like Baker, everyone's calling him a leader. Everyone's calling him, I mean, it's one name. But just the way he played today, he's not worth $40 million. I'm not going to get in the conversation. He's not worth $40 million, but man, it's nice.
It was big, yeah.
And Joe Woods' defense played well today.
Yes, I don't have to write it this week that he needs to be fired, so that's good.
And then it's just like I said, the roller coaster. It's just like it's not the top throw dragster where it's just one big hill. Every NFL week, now that there's 17 regular season games, it's just a hill, and you either keep going up or you go down. It's crazy. Yeah. It's
and in that same thought, next week, if they lose, then we're back down. So we gotta pin these things together. This is gonna be a hard game next week. Patriots are the Patriots, even though they don't have Tom Brady, they are a tough team to play. It's gonna be probably one of their best defenses they face all year. So. It's gonna be a challenge, but if they play like today, both offense and defense, we're gonna be in good shape. So I'm excited to see them next week, and it was a fun one today, and I can't wait. Last week we were like, I don't really want to face off next week, but this week we're going into next week and kind of excited to see where we're at.
Yeah, they had the Patriots in New England. Home against the Lions, at the Ravens, then a bye, and then the Ravens again. But these next 3 weeks, it can tell us a lot about this Browns team before their bye week. I'd be very happy if they go 2-1. Very, very, very happy.
Yeah, definitely. If that W comes in Baltimore, that would even make it even better. But yeah, it's gonna be an important stretch here. Next four games is going to be very telling of where if this is a battle for the division or if they're just battling for a playoff spot because they can kind of switch up the division here in the next four games by playing well and possibly sweeping. Who knows?
Oh, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Who knows?
Who knows? If they go 3-1. Right. Yeah.
3-1. So. The next four. Split Baltimore.
That would be that'd be like perfection. 3-1.
Yeah.
That's my perfection.
Yeah. Before the season, I thought splitting Baltimore would be a win. Getting it, especially I think they have a tough stretch there. I think the second game is in Cleveland, right?
Yes. It's Sunday night in Baltimore, bye week, 1 o'clock in Cleveland. And while the Browns are on a bye week, Steelers
play Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that's gonna be obviously all games in the division are huge, but getting that win will be an important stretch because they have all the they have the schedule gods. Even like the Cavs have not had the schedule gods on their side. The Browns,
they're still doing well. Go on.
Yes. The schedule gods are on our side there, so hopefully we can take care of business there.
Yeah, and man, and the Cavs starting here in a couple minutes. If you're listening to us live, if the Cavs win again, it's gonna be a good weekend to be a Cleveland and Ohio State sports fan.
It will be.
And next Friday could even be a better weekend for, I guess not Cleveland fans. Medina Ignatius next Friday.
Oh, we're going there now.
Absolutely.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, I guess I'll ask you, are you going to the game possibly?
I am going to try, yes. I think it's in Brunswick, so I will try.
Man, if you're going to go see your school lose like that? Oh, man. I don't know.
We'll see about that.
But yeah,
I'm on a hot streak now.
Madonna's been on a hot streak all year. But seriously, I mean, the Browns just won 41-16. The only two complaints we have are red zone offense and penalties. Two things that penalties they're self-inflicted. Those can be fixed, hopefully. Red zone offense, as Joe said earlier, Kareem Hunt coming back could greatly improve that. So,
yeah, just overall execution will be better too.
Yes, execution. Yeah, and that even goes to penalties. Just execute.
Yeah.
So I'm very positive. I was very negative after last week. I didn't even want to hop on the podcast.
Me too.
I'm very positive. Browns just beat the Bengals, aka their little brother, 41-16. Joe, final thoughts before you go gamble your life away in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just it was a fun day. Didn't really want to spend my Las Vegas last few days here wallowing over a loss, so that was nice of them to do that. So,
and wait, hold on. Before we go any further, before Joe said last few days, he's been there since Wednesday, and he's there until Wednesday, so no one feel bad for him. All right, continue.
If I survive, we'll see. But yeah, it was just a fun day, man. And they played. It was probably the most complete game we've seen from both sides of the ball together, because in the two dominant defensive games, the offense didn't do much, and then the defense has been bad every other game. So it was nice to see a full complete win and in division win, getting their first win in the division. That was it was just very important, man. It was great.
Absolutely, and I think that was just your phone telling you that it's dying, so we picked a good time to close this out. And I think I forgot to do this in the intro. This podcast, before Craig kills me, Craig from Lindell Insurance, by the way, but this podcast is brought to you by the Evergreen Podcast Network. I sometimes forget that. I don't know why it just occurred to me. But yeah, final thoughts. A great win today, 5-4. Things are looking up without Odell. Luckily. But yeah, the Browns just beat their little brother, the Bengals, 41-16. Things are looking up. New England next week, and Joe and I will be back with you 5 o'clock-ish next Sunday night, hopefully talking more positive Browns words.
Yep.
Can't Thanks wait. Again for joining us, guys, and go Browns.
Go Browns.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.